I'd like to call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. on Monday, February 27th. We're meeting today in room 205 in the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones today as a courtesy for the committee. Members of the committee present are Senator Geisel, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Begich, and Senator Wilson. Today on the agenda, we have a Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, April 27th, by Senator Meyer. It's my intent to hear the bill today and take public testimony and set this bill aside for further consideration. At this time, I'd like to welcome our sponsor of the bill, Senator Meyer, and his chaff, Christine Marsegan. If you guys want to come to the table, and please make sure you introduce yourself for the record and maybe get at your leisure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the HES Committee. For the record, my name is Senator Meyer, and I represent the southeast part of Anchorage, or Senate District M. This resolution, SCR 2, would proclaim April 2017 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. This is part of a national campaign to raise public awareness about sexual assault and educate communities and individuals on how to prevent sexual violence. As you all know, this sexual violence is a serious problem in the state of Alaska, unfortunately. But we bring this resolution forward every year, and actually I've been doing this since year 2001, my trusty staff told me. I used to serve on the board STAR when I was on the Anchorage Assembly, so this is just something that I feel very strongly about, not only as a parent with two daughters, but as an Alaskan. And we have thought actually about not doing a resolution every year and putting it in statute and just making it, April is the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. But so many folks have said it's good to bring this up every year and just remind folks that we still have a problem with this, with the sexual assault. And so probably until sexual assault awareness goes away, Mr. Chairman, I'll be bringing this forward every year, or maybe someday I'll retire. But so, again, this is part of a national campaign to raise public awareness also to let folks know that there's various groups out there that are also trying to educate on this topic, Alaska Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and, of course, STAR, or Standing Together Against Rape. So I'm sure you all know the statistics. They're staggering. That pertain to sexual assault. The Center for Disease Control's National Intimate Partner and Sexual Violence Survey reports that in the United States, 1 in 5 women and 1 in about 70 men have been victims of violent sexual assault in their lifetime. In Alaska, these rates are even higher. In fact, in 2015, Alaska Victimization Survey reports that almost a third of all adult women in Alaska have experienced sexual violence. So, Mr. Chairman, sexual violence is preventable. It's a social, public health, criminal justice, human rights issue. It's something we just need to keep bringing out to the public, educate the public that this is not acceptable, and that there are things to do to report this and to stop this. So, this year, 2017 Sexual Assault Awareness Month focuses on engaging new voices to broaden the scope of prevention. And we hope that this Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 will help to strengthen that effort across our state. That concludes my comments. Mr. Chairman, there's various other folks and groups that can speak much more eloquently on this topic. So with that, I will conclude my comments, and my trusty staff and I will be available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, we'll open this up to public testimony. We'll take a brief at ease for transition. on the record. We're now going to open public testimony and taking those first signed up here in the room in Juneau. First to testify is Alisa Kazmi from the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Please come and give your testimony, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Alisa Kazmi, and I am the policy specialist at the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. I am based here in Juneau. Typically, for public testimony, our executive director, Dr. Carmen Lowry, would be speaking. She is currently on the road and wasn't able to, so she sends her regrets, but I am here on behalf of the network. We offer our full support for SCR2, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, for April 2017. Our member programs and affiliates, which are 24 victim service providers from around the state, prioritize intervention in experiences of sexual assault, as well as upstream violence prevention efforts. However, Alaskans continue to experience unacceptably high levels of sexual assault, as Senator Meyer stated. The 2015 Alaska Victimization Survey showed that out of every 100 adult women who reside in Alaska, 33 experienced sexual violence, and 50 experienced intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or both. I think the statistics bear repeating. Every day, emergency service provision through our member agencies engages advocates, medical professionals, and law enforcement to establish immediate safety and longer-term support for victims of sexual assault, including through legal advocacy during prosecution, as well as assisting with accessing basic social services. Our member agencies continuously strive to conduct broad and effective outreach and work in conjunction with community partners. In spite of strained resources, our member agencies do everything in their power to serve victims. Prevention of sexual assault is rooted in educational advocacy. Evidence-based and comprehensive prevention engages multiple stakeholders to build knowledge and tools, which in turn enables Alaskans to build community partnerships around the response to and prevention of sexual assault. This is critical in dismantling the cultural normativity of sexual assault, as well as the culture of victim blaming. For example, the Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault has recently expanded its prevention work focused on youth to include an emphasis on both teen dating violence as well as healthy sexuality education alongside sexual health. This expansion recognizes that many teen relationships involve sexual intimacy and that youth need specific tools on how to establish personal boundaries to promote healthy relationships. In an interview conducted for a recent lead on Youth Summit Planning, which is just an annual program that we do, one teen remarked, "Sexual health is something that is not often discussed among my peers, and I think it would be pretty cool to start those discussions so people become more comfortable around sexual health. However, in order to educate others accurately, I need to be educated myself." So that was a teen who was participating in a recent summit. Indeed, ending sexual assault is a priority not only for individuals, but also within and among communities throughout our state. Victim service providers always benefit from greater and enhanced community awareness and collaboration around this issue. Each and every Alaskan must be informed and empowered to work together to end sexual assault through a rigorous, comprehensive, and ongoing process of community-based intervention and prevention, which we feel that this bill really highlights. And so we're grateful to Senator Meyer and his staff for proposing the bill, and we really urge you to support it and help continue expanding awareness and resources in order to end sexual assault in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you. See no one else on the line. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on this?
Thank you, Chair Wilson. My name is Jane Andrine, and I'm the Interim Executive Director of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. I just want to say that the Council, as well as the network, supports this resolution and the whole concept of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. This is something that's been happening nationally since the 1970s, and Alaska, as you have heard, still ranks highest in the country for our sexual assault rates. It's important to note from our 2015 Alaska Victimization Survey that our rights have gone down for the number of women who are reporting having been sexually assaulted in the previous year by over 30%. We are making progress, yet we are still the highest in the nation. So anything that we can do to shed light to this problem, to increase the awareness and prosecutions of these cases of holding offenders accountable, is going to be for the benefit of Alaska as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Andreen. Does anyone else here in the room like to testify on Senate Resolution CR2 for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, April 2017? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony at this time. Are there any amendments at this time for this resolution? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and bring this bill back before the committee on Wednesday. Oh, Senator Giesel.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Are the two folks that testified available for questions?
If they would like to take questions, yes, ma'am. Would you have a question for anyone?
Well, perhaps I'll pose the question, and either Jane or Elisa could decide which one wants to answer.
Yes, ma'am.
Or maybe they both do. So, I'll wait till you get to your chairs. So, you know, when we look at something like this issue that is so serious, I hear what you're saying, Jane. You commented, you know, prosecuting offenders and things like that, and I absolutely agree. But one of the things I have to ask is, have you identified and could you share with us the what you're seeing as the root cause? You know, there's some data out there that indicates that a child that's been sexually assaulted will tend to become an assaulter themselves. At least that's what I've heard. Could you share your knowledge on that subject about the root cause and how we might get to the actual root of the problem? I appreciate the prosecution afterward, but how to prevent it from happening to begin with.
Just remember to state your name for the record.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the record, my name is Aliza Cosme, Policy Specialist at the Network, and I would just emphasize what I was trying to touch on earlier, which is healthy sexuality education and other measures beginning when children are just in the school system, and just emphasizing respect and what healthy relationships look like. So there's different sorts of programming that the network and the council collaborate on with our member programs for the network. And I think that as far as prevention, I completely agree that we definitely need to emphasize both prevention and sort of the response after the fact. And I think that we probably can offer you more specific statistics as to different root causes. But I think that this bill, again, really does a great job of highlighting the importance of prevention and thinking in terms of the long term, if that makes sense. So. But there's a variety of programs, and I'm happy to share more information with you, just compile it all, as far as the work that we do in schools. The Lead On Summit that I mentioned is an annual summit that I believe we always do in Anchorage, and it just invites children in the, I think, high school. I apologize. I just started in my position a few months ago. And it invites children from all around the state and really hones in on this question of respect and how they can really be active in protecting themselves, but more importantly, fostering that culture of respect. So.
And Jane Andreen from the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Piece I'd like to add to that is that it really has to do with gender, roles and people's perceptions, one of the root elements of sexual assault is power and control. It isn't as much about the sexual gratification. And so it's important to get people to be thinking from that broader perspective. Both the council and the network, as well as a number of our partners across the state, have a whole comprehensive sort of web of primary prevention programming that's happening. A lot of it is really focused on our youth, because we see that as they're starting to get separate from the family, getting into their own relationships, that's a prime time for them to either start to engage in abusive relationships and or choose not to. And what I really like, which Lisa was talking about, the whole lead-on concept and Stand Up, Speak Up, all of these youth-driven initiatives are youth-led. They're the ones that are saying, we kind of guide them with the information, but they're the ones that decide what's the best way to change their norms, to change their culture, to get others to engage with them. And it's part of this bigger picture that we have that's moving us forward.
Thank you. Just a comment, Mr. Chair. You know what Jane was just talking about, that concept of this isn't acceptable behavior, etc. I was at AFN, I'm going to say probably 3 years ago, and some young people from one of the interior communities actually did a drama about their experiences in their small community with sexual assault. It was incredibly moving, and at the end, you know, they said, this has to stop because it is destroying us. So I appreciate what you're doing. This is a great resolution. One of the other things that it calls out is on page 2, lines 16 through 18, coaching boys into men. There are so many single parent families now where fathers are absent. And I actually know a teacher in a rural community who has taken in several young men who have lost their fathers, and has this teacher, this man, has raised these boys, and they're now adults, healthy adults who understand appropriate relationships. But you know, that's such a key piece. What this boils down to at the end of the day is that nuclear family and the positive modeling for our young people. And sadly, that's something that we're losing. But I know organizations like yours are trying to do the best at replacing, right? So anyway, you know, another aspect of it that I think about is mental health. You know, the mental health issues that develop when a child is abused. And one of the things that we could consider is an example that I see in one of our public schools in Anchorage, where there actually are mental health providers in the school. I know, as a clinician that has practice in schools around the state, many times just interacting with a child, it is perceptible that there's something that has happened to this young person. The lack of eye contact and just their demeanor would elicit follow-up. Right. And so I just think about that as another avenue we could pursue, is allowing those mental health services to be available in schools. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just to add for follow up, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of these programs. I enjoy the Compass program as another program to highlight as one of those programs that can help mentor and teach young males and provide that mentoring role model. And I know that a lot of shelters are going more toward the trauma-formed and based care services as well. So, you know, the hardest piece of this is that you're asked by folks like us is for that data and prevention. That's so hard to do, to see how that's going to, you know, how your interventions at the middle school level will play out to adulthood in those long-term studies, and so hard to come by. But it doesn't mean the work is not equally as important, as we all know how much prevention can help out with those items. Senator Begich had a question.
Yes, just a very quick comment first, and then the question. But I know Green Dot is also mentioned in the paragraph described by Senator Giesel. And and this maybe is also directed at Senator Meyer, but I'm also the adult advisor for the Mayor's Commission on Youth in Anchorage. And Green Dot came up in our meeting on Thursday night, And one of the things that they told me is that they were actually denied Green Dot training because they don't have an appropriate methodology for it. So hopefully, you know, passing this resolution will have some emphasis or impact on that, so that young people who actually could use this training, based on the comments Senator Giesel just made, would clearly benefit from it. But my question is, you mentioned, Ms. Andreen, the 30% reduction, I think you said over the last year, was that?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes. What was reported is, have you been assaulted, and it listed out the specific behaviors in the prior 12 months. That was the question on the survey.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
My question is, what was the primary reason you've identified for the 30% reduction?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, we believe, and although we don't have a study or a level of evaluation capacity that can say it's specific to this program and this program and this program, we believe that it has to do with the fact that we now have comprehensive prevention programming. It's just been over the last 10 years that Alaska has been developing its primary prevention. Up until that time, all of our energy and focus has been on responding to victims, going into the schools and teaching a class or two, you know, making sure that there's a criminal and civil justice system in place. But it was about 10 years ago, and it really took off in 2009, that we started doing comprehensive primary prevention. And that is what we're pointing to as that we can attribute at least part of the reduction to. I think it's also interesting to note that during the same time frame, the level of reporting of sexual assault has gone up, which I think is positive.
And I also want to say for the record that Senator Machiki came and joined us some time ago.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that.
Just a brief follow-up.
Yes.
So even though reporting is up, incidents reported overall are down, and so potentially that represents an even greater sort of change here. Is that, am I right? And, you know, your prevention programs, if they are indeed working the way that you've described, they're having a tremendous impact both in reporting more, but also still seeing a reduction. So I'm not articulating that as well as I think I should be, but am I correct in that assumption?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that's an appropriate assumption and one that we are making as well. We think that because people are becoming more aware of it, that it is leading more victims to come forward with a report. And I think it's also important to note, however, that in terms of violent crimes, this is probably the one with the lowest conviction rate. So it is kind of a catch-22 in terms of...
I was just going to add, you know, a lot of this has to do with some of the newer the SART teams being developed around the statewide. They've been sort of inactive due to a lack of funding sources. It takes a lot of funding to operate that, and a lot of communities have become more creative and stepping up to fund that on their own and providing those services. So the awareness of those activities have gone up, a lot of outreach, a lot of other lower prevention items in the schools, and going out to the communities have lowered some of those incidences, but the more reporting, for example, we're about the mid-low teens before SART program, and now that rate has doubled within the MAPSU in terms of reporting. It only goes higher each year just because of the services are more relatively active. Any other questions? Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, also on March 1st, we'll take and hear public testimony on SB 63, a regulation on smoking, by Senator Machiki. And that concludes our business of our Health and Social Services Committee for today. Are there any members' closing comments? Seeing none, we're adjourned at 1:55 p.m.